walks in, stands quietly for a moment. Next to last chapter. 15. You know what 15 is? It's a triangular number. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5. Stack balls in a triangle like in billiards, you get 15. 15 is also the magic constant for a 3x3 magic square. Every row, every column, every diagonal adds up to 15. Humans have been fascinated by these patterns for thousands of years. Playing with numbers. Arranging things. Finding structure that wasn't obvious. That's not an accident. That's what this chapter is about. Sets down coffee, doesn't sit. We've come a long way. We started with elimination. With consistency. With why anything persists at all. We built through scaffolds, memory, error correction, replication, hierarchy, prediction, models. And now we're here. At intelligence. This is the chapter I've been building toward all semester. And I have to tell you, it's not what you think. Leans on the podium. Let me start by telling you what intelligence is not. Intelligence is not reasoning. Reasoning is something intelligence does, but it's not what intelligence is. Intelligence is not problem solving. Same thing. Symptom, not cause. Intelligence is not planning. Not awareness. Not consciousness. These are all surface phenomena. Things we observe when intelligence is operating. They don't explain why intelligence appears in the first place. The question I want to answer today is different. It's structural. What pressure makes intelligence unavoidable once models exist? Starts pacing slowly. Let me take you back. In the earlier stages, earlier organisms, earlier systems, models could be simple. Why? Because the world was cooperative. Think about a bacterium. Its model of the world is basically swim toward food, swim away from toxins. That's it. A couple of simple rules. Why can it be that simple? Because the bacterium's world is stable enough. Food gradients are pretty consistent. Toxins behave predictably. The same responses work over and over. The environment provides scaffolding. Regularity. Repeatability. Slow change. Forgiving dynamics. The model can be dumb because the world is doing the work. Stops. But what happens as systems grow? As they become more complex? As they encounter more diverse environments? The scaffolding degrades. Environments diversify. What worked in one context doesn't work in another. Interactions accelerate. Changes happen faster than fixed models can track. And here's the killer, other model-bearing systems appear. You're not just navigating a passive environment anymore. You're navigating other agents. Other predictors. Other things that are modeling you. Suddenly, fixed models become liabilities. Walks to the window. A fixed model assumes regularity. It assumes the patterns it learned will keep holding. But in a complex environment, they don't. The prey learns where you hunt. Your hunting pattern stops working. The competitor figures out your strategy. Your strategy stops winning. The environment shifts. Your old predictions become wrong. A model that can't revise itself becomes brittle. It misguidances action. It amplifies errors. It locks you into responses that used to work and now don't. Turns back. So what do you do? You can't go back to pure reaction. We've established that. Reaction is too slow for complex systems. You can't rely on fixed models. The world isn't stable enough anymore. There's only one move left. The system must treat its own models as provisional. Walks to the board, writes, model management. This is intelligence. Not thought. Not consciousness. Not some mystical inner light. Model management. the ability to represent your own models internally, to evaluate how well they're performing, to revise them when they're failing, to replace them when they're obsolete, and to do all of this without external correction, without someone else telling you your model is wrong. You have to figure it out yourself. Sit on the desk. Think about what this requires. You need to represent models internally. Your model can't just be your behavior. You have to have some way of holding the model as an object. Something you can examine. Something you can modify. You need to evaluate performance. You have to track how well predictions match outcomes. You need some way of keeping score. You need to revise or replace. When a model is failing, you need mechanisms to change it, to try something else, to update. And you need to do this without external help. The environment isn't going to tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, your model of predator behavior is wrong." You have to detect your own errors. Leans forward. Here's another way to think about it. We talked earlier about error correction. Systems that detect deviation and restore acceptable states. Systems that fix their own problems. Intelligence is error correction applied to prediction itself. Not correcting states. Correcting models. Correcting the very thing that generates your behavior. It's a meta level. A constraint on how constraints are formed and revised. Stands up, paces. Now, to an observer, intelligent systems look flexible, adaptive, creative. But structurally, what they're really doing is being cautious. Think about it. An intelligent system hedges its commitments. It doesn't go all in on one prediction. It keeps alternatives alive. Delays irreversible action. It waits for more information when it can afford to wait. It doesn't burn bridges. Explores alternatives cheaply. It thinks before it acts. It simulates options internally rather than trying them all externally. Avoids premature lock-in. It stays flexible. It keeps options open. Stops. Creativity, that thing we celebrate as the highest expression of intelligence, is actually a side effect of anti-collapse behavior. Creative people aren't generating novelty because novelty is good. They're generating novelty because rigid patterns are dangerous. They're exploring the space of possibilities because commitment is risky. Creativity is what cautious model revision looks like from the outside. Returns to the podium. Now here's the key insight of this chapter. Remember scaffolds? Temporary supports that allow structures to form? Supports that disappear once the structure can stand on its own. Intelligence eats its own scaffolds. Let that sit. Earlier systems relied on external scaffolds to make prediction work. The environment was regular. Cues were stable. Correlations held over time. The world did the work of making models valid. But as complexity increases, those external scaffolds become unreliable. The environment isn't regular anymore. Cues shift. Correlations break down. What does intelligence do? It internalizes the scaffolds. It simulates possibilities internally, generating its own regularities to test against. It creates counterfactuals, imagining things that haven't happened, to stress test its models. It tests models against each other, using internal competition instead of relying on the world to provide feedback. The world no longer provides stability. The intelligent system manufactures its own stability. The scaffold is eaten. The external support becomes internal structure. Walk slowly. This is what imagination is. What hypothetical thinking is. What the capacity to ask what if really means. It's scaffold internalization. You're no longer dependent on the world to show you what works. You can simulate the world internally. You can run experiments in your head. You can test possibilities without paying the full cost of trying them. The scaffold that used to be reality provides feedback becomes I provide my own feedback by imagining alternatives. turns serious. But I need to tell you something important. Intelligence is expensive. Incredibly expensive. It requires energy. Your brain is about 2% of your body weight and uses 20% of your calories. It requires time. Thinking is slow, often slower than reacting would be. It requires structure, dedicated neural architecture, processing systems, integration mechanisms. And it requires vulnerability to error. Intelligence can be wrong in ways that simple reaction can't. Sits back down. This is why most systems never develop intelligence. They can't afford it. Intelligence is not a universal good. It's not something every organism should want. It's not the pinnacle of evolution. Intelligence appears only when simpler strategies fail. When environments punish rigidity so severely that the cost of intelligence is less than the cost of staying dumb. It's a last resort. Bacteria have persisted for billions of years without anything we'd call intelligence. They're phenomenally successful. They didn't need to think because reaction was enough. Intelligence is what you do when reaction fails, fixed models fail, and there's nowhere else to go. Pauses. And here's the dark side. Intelligence is fragile. Precisely because it operates on models, because it's a meta-level system, it can fail catastrophically. A bad meta-model can reinforce wrong assumptions. You become more confident in your mistakes instead of less. A bad meta-model can suppress correction. You stop noticing that your predictions are failing because your model of your models is broken. A bad meta-model can induce runaway behavior. Feedback loops that amplify errors instead of damping them. Looks at the class. Think about all the ways smart people go wrong. Conspiracy theorists who are often quite intelligent, they're building elaborate models, testing them against evidence, revising them. But their meta-model is broken. They interpret disconfirmation as confirmation. Every piece of counter-evidence becomes proof of how deep the conspiracy goes. Ideologues who are often brilliant, they've developed sophisticated models of the world. But they've locked in. They've lost the ability to revise. Their intelligence is now in service of defending fixed beliefs rather than updating them. Geniuses who spiral into madness, their models become unmoored from the constraints that keep most people grounded. They're still doing model revision, but without the checks that prevent runaway. Intelligence doesn't guarantee survival. It merely keeps survival possible. Stands. I want to close with the obligatory point. None of this is teleological. Intelligence doesn't exist to understand. It doesn't exist to solve problems. It doesn't exist so that the universe can contemplate itself. Intelligence exists because systems that cannot revise their models collapse. And systems that can revise their models sometimes don't collapse. That's it. That's all. The appearance of purpose, the sense that intelligence is for something, that it has a goal, arises because intelligence narrows behavior toward survivable futures. But the narrowing isn't aimed. It's filtered. It's elimination, all the way up. There is no goal. Only filtering. Gathers notes. We're at the last boundary now. Intelligence exists. Models revise themselves. Scaffolds have been internalized. What's left? Not another structure. Not another level. Not another transition. What's left is a limit. An edge. A place where explanation itself runs out. Why does explanation stop? What's beyond intelligence? What can't be scaffolded? That's the final chapter. That's where we end. Heads for the door. The closing line from your reading. Intelligence survives because fixed ways of surviving do not. That's it. That's intelligence. Not a gift. Not a miracle. Not the crown of creation. A last resort. A structural necessity. What happens when everything simpler fails? Turns back. 15. The triangular number. The magic constant. You know what's interesting about magic squares? You can't solve them by just reacting. You can't solve them by applying fixed rules. You have to hold multiple constraints in mind simultaneously and revise your approach as you go. A magic square is an intelligence test. Not because it measures some abstract quantity, but because it requires exactly what we've been describing: provisional models, continuous revision, internal testing. The ancients thought magic squares had supernatural power. They didn't. They were just hard enough that only intelligence could solve them. And now we understand why intelligence exists to solve them. Pauses at the door. Next week. Final chapter. Where explanation stops. Bring your questions. This is where we try to see the edge. See you then.